Open loops. Open loops. Open loops. Open loops. Open loops. You must listen to the open loops, a theme park for absurd beliefs and systems of integration between the mind and the creative spirit. Open loops.
That moment when your pen hits the paper and writes 2022. That's the moment for your conscious mind. That can focus on the numbers. Because I'm now speaking to your unconscious mind. Is now tuned in to your favorite late night talk show for the Shamelessly Fringe. It's Open Loops with Greg Bornstein. Conversations that bend. Happy New Year, everybody. Hey, dear listener. I love that. Stephen King used to do that in his books. Dear reader, you are a dear listener. Such a dear. You are such a dear. Thank you. Hey, everybody. Greg Bornstein, your host here. Consciousness disruptor, cultural hypnotist, curator of experience, and of course, chief looper. This is the show of shows, in a way. Well, this particular two-part series is definitely one of the alien episodes to top all alien episodes. Why do we talk about aliens? Why do we talk about UFOs? Because those are the type of themes that speak to the not-so-conscious mind, the realm of possibility, the realm of the mystical, the mysterious, the hypnotic, the magical, the esoteric, the abstract, the conspiratorial, the secretive, the paranormal, and of course, the deepest questions of them all, who and what we really are. You see, my goal in this show is to challenge your existing belief systems by sharing radically unique ideas designed to stimulate your unconscious mind and allow you to step into the highest version of yourself. If you're listening to the show, you have a penchant for being mind-blown, mind-effed. Trying to be a proper man in 2022. MF'd. F'd up. Mother effin' mind effed. I'm also clearly trying to get rid of the repressed rage inside of me in 2022. Is it repressed? Eh. If you have a podcast and you can keep talking on and on and on about stuff for hours and get nowhere, that must be some kind of repression, right? Anyways, this episode with Michael Horn, UFO expert, man that is very, very well-versed in all things ET, we're going to get into the work of a controversial UFO and ET contactee, and prophesizer, Billy Meyer. Now, I'm not going to spoil too much at the top of this, except to say that we had a 3-hour conversation which is why I'm breaking this interview up into two parts. And if you looked at the cover art for this episode, that flying saucer, that crystal clear silver disc, that was a photograph taken by Meyer that has been authenticated. Middle of, you know, we're talking, I don't know when that one's exactly from, if it's 60s, 70s, or 80s. I'm guessing late 70s, early 80s, but people, there was an astronaut who looked into it. There are people who look into the authenticity of these things of high credential. And they say there's no way that could have been faked. So, and that's only one of what seems to be thousands. You think the UFO thing is rampant in the South in the U.S.? Try Switzerland on the farm with young Billy Meyer, 4 years old, making contact. This story, I don't know why other people don't cover it. This is my first real introduction to Meyer's work in his prophecies, which tangentially relate to the plot of Don't Look Up on Netflix. Now, I very much enjoyed this satire. I enjoyed it as a pure comedy. I didn't even look at it as necessarily this cultural commentary, which it was, but I just was laughing. And then you listen to this podcast, and you start getting a little, perhaps nervous. Now, again, talking about responsibilities here, as someone with a platform, I am very aware that a lot of people have said doomsday is coming. People have made end-of-the-world predictions forever, and often they don't come true. That said, if somebody is going to come forth and say something like this, and have a track record of accuracy, as Michael Horn claims Billy Meyer does, then I would at the very least want to look into it. That's the interesting thing about all of this stuff. It raises the question, I mean, you know, Michael's saying here, hey, look, I brought this information, I brought tons of information, not just about the don't look up scenario, but about COVID, about other environmental disasters. I've tried to bring it to people. Billy Meyer's tried to bring it to people. People don't pay attention. Of course not. This is the ET UFO guy. That's outside the realm of science, supposedly. But what is science if not making hypotheses based on predictions and not predictions, based on evidence, based on previous evidence, making hypothesis, testing the theory? Look, if this man has as great of a track record as he does, at the very least, examine it. I'm at the beginning of my Billy Meyer research, so I can't say whether or not I know everything Michael says in this episode is true. I'm not in the business of fear-mongering here, but I do want to inspire people to at least investigate, because, hey, look, I'm not sure what the weathermen are doing out there, but if a psychic has a better hit record than most weathermen in America, do we start trusting the psychic? It's tricky. I'm very rational with this stuff. I believe in science. I probably to a fault. I'm very, very imperialist. Oh gosh. Freudian slip. Wow. No, I'm not imperialist. I'm an empiricist. I believe in materialism is what I feel and have experienced. The non-material is not something I've fully delved into. But that said, gosh, I'm open-minded. And in a world where truth and falsehood are so varied, let's at least look into evidence and assess, this man, Michael Horn, Billy Meyer, this entire thing could be a hoax. Or it could not. But I encourage you to look into it. I'm certainly going to. Here's a two-parter for you. Michael Horn is very interesting. Billy Meyer is very interesting. Very weird that a lot of the UFO people aren't examining this case with some of the most clear photographs. I mean, you're going to hear a supposedly legitimate spaceship sound in this episode. There's video footage you can see of a really much clearer than I've seen before flying saucer. This goes wild. Again. Not sure what to do with the prophecies yet, but hey, at least take a listen. Now, a couple of updates. If things like impending apocalypses stress you out, or you have any other issues, anxieties, whatnot, I'm going to start doing hypnosis sessions again. I'm starting to do it. So, if you want a free discovery call with me, feel free to check out my link in the show notes. I'm happy to meet with any of you from all over the world and to do some hypnosis with you. Who knows? Maybe we can do past lives. Maybe we can contact ETs. I'm willing to experiment. I love hypnosis, and I'm practicing it again and getting results, so let's do it. The other thing is, if you enjoy Open Loops, we have a YouTube channel where sometimes we broadcast exclusive interviews live. We also have a Facebook page. Feel free to find those in the show notes. Look up Open Loops Podcast. You can always reach out to me with questions if you need resources at the Greg Bornstein on Instagram. And if you like Open Loops, make sure to follow it on Apple Podcasts, as well as if you could rate the show and leave a review, even a few words would greatly help. I am so grateful for you listening. I'm so grateful for you being open-minded. I'm so grateful for any of you coming on and going, that's complete crap. We love it all. We encourage the discourse. That's what it's all about. And, well, hey, maybe I just want to party with Leo again. I had an experience at a nightclub. I can talk about that in another episode one day, but maybe Leo will get me closer to the red rope that was closing him off from the rest of the people and all those supermodels behind him. And Leo, I just want to be one of your models. Paint me like one of your... Okay. Enough of that. Here's part one of a wild ride. Michael Horn talks ET contactee Billy Meyer. Today on Open Loops, we have Michael Horn, who George Norrie of Coast to Coast fame said is the world's leading authority on UFOs, which is interesting. Very interesting. A big claim there. As well as he is the American media representative for the singularly authentic Billy Meyer UFO contacts. Still ongoing in Switzerland for almost 80 years. He's researched UFOs for 42 years, an international lecturer, award-winning documentary filmmaker, and former SETI, that's S-E-T-I, team member. And look, he's uncovered photographs that were top secret with UFOs. We're also going to talk about the recent release of the Netflix film, Don't Look Up, and how Billy is related to that. There's a whole lot to go into here. Michael, thanks so much for coming on the show.
And Greg, thank you for having me. I'm very happy to be here at the start of a fresh new year with all of the things that it promises, both good and bad. We'll try and make it the better part of it.
Yes, absolutely. Hey, look, overall, I mean, is there? I don't know how. It seems that this Billy Meyer is he sees things, or at least he can see into the future, or events that are coming in the future. I don't know what the full scope is, but 2022. I mean, do you have any intel on that before we get into this interview?
Well, yeah, I mean, the challenges for this year and from here on are massive. And not that we should be surprised, because this man, Billy Meyer, has been publishing his information since he was a 14-year-old boy.
Wow.
14-year-old boy. Actually, earlier, since he was about 10, but the stuff from 14 on became most well known for his earliest information, because he's the first person to be warning about a natural man-made climate change, global warming, damage to the ozone, and hundreds more things, starting in 1951 as a 14-year-old boy. And
Wow.
you said to me, well, who, Billy Meyer, where's he been? Who is this guy? And this, to give you an idea of the seriousness of this, the fact that people in the world of the paranormal, the spiritual, the new age, the UFO, anything, don't know who Billy is. And I'm not, believe me, I'm not criticizing you for it, because I know why people don't know.
Yeah,
The
no, I want to know.
massive, deliberate, unrelenting suppression and censorship of these singularly authentic, still ongoing UFO contacts has been the handiwork of the intelligence agencies such as the CIA and others, not only in America, but in other countries, because the powers that be have deemed this information and this evidence, this still irreproducible evidence, to be too dangerous. In other words, if people knew that photographs like the one you might be seeing over my shoulder of a UFO taken in 1975 or 76 were absolutely authentic, not models, not hoaxes, pre-digital, pre-Photoshop, all this stuff, and that the man has published over 1,200 of these clear UFO photos, films, video. And
Yeah.
that's the easy part, the easy part. And I say that because the higher standard of proof is to be found in what you're asking about, in the 45,000 plus pages of information with voluminous hundreds of examples of specific, error-free, prophetically accurate scientific, environmental, geopolitical, financial, and economic information that simply boggles the mind.
Wow.
And there's nothing to believe here. Like everything I've said right now, a person would have to, if they're interested, do the little bit of due diligence to determine for themselves if what I've said is a lie, a hoax, a fraud, or if it's true. Because
Yeah.
it's true. It's
Tell me
the
this, Michael. Did you, out of curiosity, and we're definitely going to go down this rabbit hole more. For yourself as a researcher, were you already looking at UFO stuffs and then is stuff and then you landed on Billy, or was Billy your entryway in? How did you become this
All right.
ambassador?
I, as a very young boy growing up in the 40s and 50s last century, I listened to radio shows, space shows on radio. I mean, the most primitive of things, but they were engrossing. When
Yeah.
TV space shows, I would start to watch them. Strangely enough, I was never a Star Trek fan, and a few other things. I watched much more primitive stuff, and I always would have dreams about lights in the sky moving in formation against the night sky and all disc-shaped things. And I had dreams of disc-shaped objects when I was young, and questions about life and space and the truth about God and Jesus. These things were in my mind at 10 and 12 years of age.
Totally, totally.
Right? Okay, so then in 1979, I walk into a bookstore in Los Angeles called the Bodhi Tree. And there is a photo book. I have it sitting over there. I still have it. with a really clear photograph, a UFO on the front, a photo similar to the one behind me, but a little different. And I went, wow. You know, I went over, I picked up that book, started to look at it, and I went, I got to get it. I bought the book. And then I started to read it because there was information in there, not only about the man and the investigation into this whole case, but quotes from the alleged extraterrestrials who are talking to him, supposedly. I'm going, what the hell is this? It's fascinating.
Yeah.
Well, I read that book and I reread it. And I was looking into all things UFO and New Age and what have you. And then it's a matter of, it takes me until about 1986. I'm in a small cafe with my daughter and a woman I knew in Sedona, Arizona. We're the only people in there except for one guy sitting all the way across by himself. And we've just ordered the classic New Age avocado and sprout sandwiches and whole wheat bread.
Okay. Yes.
Right. So while they're growing the avocados, apparently this, it takes an interminable amount of time. We call the guy over to sit down and join us. And we start talking about all this New Age stuff that's just starting to happen in the mid 80s. And Billy Meyer's name comes up along with UFOs. And the guy says to me, because I talk about, you know, well, I've got the book and all. He says, well, have you read the contact reports? I said, what's that? He said, that's, well, about 1,800 pages of the conversations that this man, Billy Myers, had between 75 and 78. I said, I didn't know they existed. He said, I've got them. Come back. When you're in L.A., come up to Decker Canyon. I'll give it to you. I go, 1,800 pages of what were mimeographed. I don't even know if you'll know what that is, because that's the way,
right,
decades ago, instead of Xerox and digital, they would churn these things off on this round thing, and you'd get the printed stuff, oftentimes in a blue ink, who knows. And so I got those, and I read them for months. Part of the reason was they were so fascinating. The other part was whoever translated them had put them into, you know, English, but the kind of a bass backwards from German with the verbs in the room. And I'm reading this stuff, and fascinating. And it's 1986 and 87. And I stick these under my bed. And then one day, living in New York, I've done that already. I was living in LA in Marina Del Rey area. And I opened up a local paper, and there was an article, and it said Lawrence Livermore Labs, which is a big laboratory in California, big national laboratory, made a new discovery, A-bomb testing tied to ozone damage. And I went, oh, really? And I'm starting to read it. And I went, wait, why is this new? I know this. Well, wait, how could I know that these percentages? How could I know this? So I reach under the bed. I start with the first 100-page block, 18 of these 100-page blocks. And I'm going through. It takes me a minute or two, and there it is. 1975, they're talking to him about the ozone damage. And not only, and it goes into a lot of stuff. And they said to him, well, you know, from what you knew back in the 1950s, what do you mean 1950? What's going on? That the ozone damage isn't due only to the greenhouse gases, which are big contributors and all of this, but also to atomic testing and explosions and this and that. And I'm going, holy cow. And they give the percentages, which are only slightly different than what's in the new article. This is from 75. Percentages might be a little greater now in this article. I'm going, gee, this is about something more than just UFOs. Well, to try to not make this forever, but that led me to pay attention more to newspapers and TV. And I started to notice all these things. New discovery. And I'm going, yeah, I've read that one too. And I found them all. And I started to keep track of them. And over time, other people started to, you know, I started to publish this on my website, which I published all this stuff that I would find up until about 2015. And then my blog is the main organ of dissemination. And we now have a couple hundred, 250 maybe, specific error-free examples of precise, prophetically accurate scientific information covering all of the planets in the solar system, black holes, the extraction of oil tied into earthquakes and volcanic eruptions, which was then a new discovery in 1990, I believe, by a professor, Paul Siegel, at Stanford University, publishes this thing. And I'm going, wait a minute, this is familiar. I pull it out in 1976. It's all there.
Wow. So
Yeah. See, this is the thing. Now, no government, and the government, the U.S. and the Secret Service has started to learn about Meyer in the mid-70s. They even got some of their own photographs of the craft, which they won't show, of course. And this started to create more trouble for Meyer because this, here's the logic, and I understand it. If a man comes forward and he can prove in a heartbeat, he's meeting with human beings, not little weird creatures, human beings from another star system, and that they are giving him photo ops and giving him information on all sorts of scientific stuff anywhere from a week to 60 years before we ever discover it. What the hell is going to happen to our religions, our political structures, our militaries, and corporate and all this stuff? Because all of the powers that be need to maintain a certain kind of control. And if you are going to have to admit there are beings visiting one guy on Earth, we can't control them. Well, they don't seem to be harmfully intended, but they operate outside of any constraints that we could possibly try to. Sorry, folks. Well, that's not the kind of thing that makes people feel secure.
Yeah.
Especially in a world with all this, the imaginary religions, the crazy politics that makes people fight with each other all the time over bullshit. So what happens if somebody then is also getting vast amounts of information that explain how life works, how we as human beings on this planet could have peace and love and harmony and free and abundance, how we could do that if we wanted to.
Right.
How other beings worked it out, who also went through this kind of grief. Not perfect beings in a space brother nonsense. They went through it. They worked it out. Now they're passing it on. They're not coming down to meet with us. If they'd wanted to attack us or destroy us or dominate us, they could have done that when they started meeting with Billy Meyer in 1942, 80 years ago.
Wow.
So that's why you don't know about Billy Meyer. That's how greedy the bastards that control things on this planet are. That's how suicidally greedy they are. And it affects us to this very day with this very deadly, ever-evolving and mutating pandemic that he first wrote about when he was 9 years old.
Nine, he wrote about the COVID-19 pandemic?
Yes. Now, a lot of people say, well, do you have the original paper? No, we have the reproduced info, but you don't have to rely on that because I started publishing on February 25th, 2020, information that he started to provide that got translated into English. Everything that we published on that day alone, there were 14 bullet points. Every single one of them, we published before the CDC, the WHO, Fauci, any and everybody, and they all turned out to be 100% accurate. And if we had listened, if we hadn't been suppressed, that was when there were 57 cases in all of the United States, America. 57 cases, February 25th, 2020. I then started to send this information because I started to get more of it. By March 5th, I had, that information and more, and I began to send it throughout the state in which I live, Arizona. 5 cases in Arizona, March 5th, 2020. To every possible government, educational, medical, and media person I could reach. Local government, in the city here, the governor, everybody I sent. I have it all documented. Not one of those in criminally negligent incompetence would even investigate. The ones who would respond gave me reasons why they wouldn't look at it.
Wow.
Why they wouldn't report. And now we have, in a state that we started off with 5, I think the number now is over 1.34 million and well over 21,000 deaths because a bunch of stupid, officious know-it-alls decided that they couldn't look at anything that didn't come. They told me, well, we rely on the CDC for information. And my answer is, well, they're validating us. We're not publishing after them. But they wouldn't listen. I reached out to the Native American peoples here who were being decimated by this thing. And right. Their hierarchy, they wouldn't look either, because they rely government money, government authority. This now is a tragedy of unimaginable. You asked about 2022. The Omicron thing we're experiencing now will probably affect the majority of humankind one way or the other. And I don't mean to get into too touchy a thing, but Meyer made predictions about the numbers of ultimate casualties from this. The numbers who will be negatively affected by the vaccines. They were publishing that information in 2019 before the vaccines were out. We knew that this was Wuhan from their 2019 information.
Right.
COVID is not a plot by Bill Gates and Fauci and Bezos and all the rest. I don't know about the vaccines because there's plenty of controversy. Meyer first predicted the coronavirus epidemic in 1989 and 95. And that referred first to the SARS that came out in 2003. And that came out of a bioweapons lab in Guangdong, China. It was an accidental release, as this was. The Chinese government wasn't behind this. That's the thing. There are secret labs in countries that even the leaderships of the countries don't know about. And that's another story. And if you want the other shoe that drops, if you want to know who was behind COVID,
yeah, who was it?
Let's tease it a little. It was a Chinese leader whose name was Mao Zedong, but it was at the initiation of a disgruntled and humiliated American who had been very prominent in America in the 60s and 70s. And you may not know, I'll give you his name. His name was Richard Nixon.
I was about to guess that. Nixon?
Yep. And you won't. Here's the thing. When people finally catch up with Billy Meyer's material, they think they've just discovered everything. They still haven't figured out it's Nixon. They haven't figured most of this out. And we've been publishing and sending it to any and everybody, hundreds of journalists and scientists. They won't respond because the mainstream journalists are afraid now to do anything to rock the boat, because they'll be kicked out, they'll be fired.
Yeah.
They have to promote the party line. Joe Rogan won't look. We gave Joe Rogan Billy Meyer's photo book, and Joe Rogan, having smoked too many joints and been choked out too many times, said, oh, gee, these photos must be Photoshopped from the 1970s. This is what you're dealing with in this world. People who are too stupid to have any responsibilities, they should be sitting in a kindergarten somewhere where they could hopefully do no damage. And I'll give it to Joe. Rogan has interviewed some very important people and all this stuff. But even some of the people who are on the right side of understanding how bad this is, they don't get it. A lot of them don't understand the precautions that they should have taken when we were the first to publish them in February. And when they were, well, you know, so I don't want to just go on.
Well, does he have exact dates? I mean, does he say this month, this time, this is how many people this is going to affect?
As a matter of fact, with COVID, and they stopped doing it, I think, but over the past 2 years, in several months, about 3 weeks to a month before the end of the month, they gave specific casualty numbers for a number of countries. And they said, these will be the numbers reported officially at the beginning of next month. And they were right every time.
When you say they, is it Billy Meyer's people in Switzerland? Is it a group of people? I mean, who's they?
The Pleiaren extraterrestrials.
Oh. This, oh my.
So you have two things here. Contemporarily, we have these people who have provided to Billy, they have They've spoken extensively about the virus, far beyond what our scientists know about it. They warned about variants and mutations. There's the whole thing with Omicron. They've said there's other ones coming. And we have, I mean, the stupidity of the so-called leaders is so staggering, so unimaginable, that they refuse to shut down travel at the very beginning when they should have, and true, real lockdowns to protect people. Yes, people are fine. Nobody wants to wear a mask because we think we're inconvenienced by a goddamn deadly pathogen. Oh, that's inconvenient. I don't like it, but I don't want to catch a disease that is airborne. We are the first people verifiably copyright to declare this is an airborne pathogen. It's spread on surfaces. Children are the main hidden spreaders. Asymptomatic spread. It goes on and on, Greg.
Yeah. You know what's interesting, Michael, is that, and here's why I'm not just going, oh gosh, what's this guy talking about? Is because you're kind of saying, in a way, you are going against a lot of what the New Age and spiritual community is saying. A lot of them are just dismissing this thing. A lot of them are saying, oh, it's the flu. Or they're saying, well, don't wear masks. It's against our freedom. And then they're going right to the vaccine and talking about that. But what you're saying is, no. This is real still. Yes, it may have been manufactured, but wear a mask, be smart, and pay attention to people that are predicting things. So that I find already different than the main spiritual narrative, which is doing its darndest to really just talk about freedom and dismiss this thing as much as they can.
Greg, you hit on something that's so, I mean, I'm smiling about it because, yeah, it's so bizarre because the people, let's say the spiritual community, if they're political, they're more left-leaning. Then you've got the people on the right who are, you know, far-right conspiracy, and they also, they're screaming about their freedoms. And nobody understands. The people that say they're patriots, let's say on the right, we're patriots. True patriotism is caring about your fellow human being.
Yeah.
Right? It's not all about you, but if you made it enough about yourself where you said, I'm going to protect myself, I'm going to wear this thing to protect me, you're then protecting others. And yeah. Likewise, it's so simple. Look, you know, all these people that scream about their freedoms and how, pardon me, how bad masks are for you. For how many decades have nurses and doctors been wearing masks to protect themselves?
Right.
Well, these people, they've got to get the crap out of their brains here. The people in the spiritual community, I wish I was reaching more of them, because here's the other shoe. There's a lot of shoes to drop here. The core of this whole Meyer thing, it isn't UFOs. It isn't prophecies and predictions. It's a teaching. A spiritual teaching that is non-religious. There are no beliefs. It literally, if you want to learn how to fix a computer, you get a good book, instructs, and then you test it. You don't believe it, you test it. Cars, grow vegetable, anything. That's what has been handed down for many millennia through a lineage of real prophets connected to the Pleiar and extraterrestrials for over 13,500 years. They want us to understand, to learn how life works so we don't literally destroy ourselves and make this planet uninhabitable for a long time. Billy Myers, if you read one, there's one contact report, you know, he has these conversations. He just transcribes them all with one hand, translates everything out. He speaks about the environmental crisis, which he's the first person to warn about, and excoriates Greta Thunberg and all the green deals and all this stuff because it's all band-aids. And here's the uncomfortable reality. He has like 60 pages nonstop spelling it out in every detail why we are in trouble. And the core reason is overpopulation. And the answer isn't to annihilate people.
Right.
The answers are birth control, controlling our numbers so that natural attrition helps to, because when I try to tell people, you can take an aquarium or a terrarium with earth and you put organisms, plants, fish, whatever you want, keep adding. And what happens? It always dies out. You overconsume that which is available. The wastes pollute. And there's strife. Organisms fight for any and everything. And that is what happens on planet Earth. And they've been trying to tell us this since day one, back in the 40s. His first extraterrestrial teacher explained it to him and showed it to him as he showed him this time.
Let's go back, Michael. I'm curious. Can you talk about the first encounter, the details? I mean, was he brought aboard a ship? What was kind of the original story here, so people can know?
Sure. As a very young child, we're talking 3 and 4 years of age, he already was fascinated with the cosmos. He would climb out of his bedroom window at night and stare at the stars and be thinking about what is this universe? I mean, 4 years old. So at 5 years old, one day, he lives in rural Switzerland, a beautiful pastoral area, forests and hills. And he hears a man's voice, an old man's voice speaking to him in his head. And he doesn't know what to make of it. He's a little scared, but he's a little uncertain. He goes and confides in the parish priest. He didn't even want to tell his family. But he had a nice relationship with Pastor Zimmerman, the parish priest. And Pastor Zimmerman had been already telepathically contacted by this man, Svath, because Pastor Zimmerman, while he was a pastor in a religious environment to, local people at that level of consciousness, he had a pretty cosmic mind already, and he could take it. And basically, he was told, this is who I am, and I'm going to be speaking to one of, the young people in your community, a son of some of the people who are, worshiping you, and he will come to you. He will be a little troubled, and I mean him no harm. He's a special young person who I will, offer tutelage to. Anyhow, so sure, little Edward shows up, and Pastor Zimmerman says, "Here's nothing to be afraid of. It's unusual, but don't be fearful. It's not the devil." That's the whole thing in the 40s and in a Christian spirit. So shortly thereafter, it's one day or other, he's playing outside and he feels kind of drawn to go deeper into the woods. And there was a clearing and there's a bell-shaped kind of craft sitting there on three struts. And standing in front of it is an elderly-looking man with white hair in what Meyer says looks like a deep-sea diver suit. And he said there was no helmet on it. And the man just kind of had a friendly sense about him. And he beckoned me to come forward. And I went up and he started talking to me. And that was the first time he went on board the craft. And then while there were these telepathic contacts, everything then became face-to-face voluntarily on board the craft, where he was taught and shown things, and also equipment that this man had was put in his head that Meyer said it was used to show him things from the past and the future, to accelerate his thinking abilities, to help him develop his consciousness so that he could handle more and more information. And then he was taken and shown different places on Earth, on the solar system, and in different times. And this continued. We have a film that we filmed in 2006, put it out in 2008. It's called The Silent Revolution of Truth. And I'll say it now because I have to obviously send you a copy of it. And then any of your listeners that want a copy, I'll send it free. No strings attached, buy anything. Just so you can catch up, because some of the stories told in there. Meyer's got the most documented life of anybody I ever know. There's photos of him, I think, at 5. There's Zimmerman and Meyer at 8, and all the things that we learned subsequently, that a very famous psychologist named Carl Jung became involved in helping young Meyer to write and send information out around the world, warnings about the environment and stuff. This is so massive. And so, in a sense, low key for a couple of reasons. One, it's been actively suppressed. Meyer's life is, there have been 24 attempts on it. It's bizarre stuff. There have been kidnapping attempts of his kids at knife point, and just,
man, does he have security at his house? I mean, I worry about this guy.
He, for in the early days, the extraterrestrials kind of assisted, but they also told him, you're going to have to deal with it because there's a lot of people that are unhappy with you. And he's a pretty savvy guy. In the 1950s, he was known in the Middle East as the Phantom. In India, Pakistan, Turkey, he was hired by these governments to bring in serial killers and mass murderers, because when he was about 16, he ran away and joined the French Foreign Legion, learned how to handle weapons and all this stuff. So he had nerves of steel, because also his teacher, Svath, taught him lots of things, meditation. So he somehow, when he was traveling around the world hitchhiking, he ends up in these countries going out and bringing in, apprehending these deadly killers. And wow. he says, I never, because he also had a .357 Magnum and knives and all this. He says, no, I never killed anybody. He says, I shot back at people sometime to wound them if they attacked me, but I would never kill anybody. And, you know, I tried to, you know, bring people in to make the society safe and all that. His life is, it's a combination of, oh, gee, what is it? Lawrence of Arabia meets Indiana Jones meets Skywalker. You know, I mean, it's just the most amazing thing. And he's a very unassuming person. He never brags about anything. He's not busy, you know, saying, oh, look at, I made, took these photos and I was seeing. It's, this is the evidence. And if you find it, you can do with it what you want. There's no coercion. And nobody's told to believe in anything, which is so refreshing, you know, as far as I'm concerned. But this is a man who's just, he's here to do his gig. He's absolutely not self-pitying, considering the things this man has been through. It's just staggering. I mean, if you learn 10 years before it happens, you're going to lose most of your left arm. It's your destiny, and we can't mess with that. Have a nice day. Back up. What's this? Sorry, we got to, you know, trip out again. So, I mean, it is beyond. And so here's the irony. Every phony, lying, profiteering son of a you-know-what ufologist, researcher and all, just wants to be a profiteer and make a big deal about themselves. And they've suppressed all of that you're hearing today, probably for the first time. You won't hear it from these people. And you can name anybody you want. And I've personally made sure that virtually everybody in ufology has had access to this material. I lectured at all these different UFO conferences and what have you. And then I started to call out the people at these conferences. That's when they stopped inviting me back. I said, you people are lying. You don't know what you're talking about. You're suppressing this. This is authentic. And some of these people would actually attack the Meyer case so they could make up their stories. It's brutal. It's just
brutal. What do you do about all this? I mean, I love reading the accounts of just go name some names for you. I mean, Lyndon Moulton Howe, Stephen Greer, Bob Lazar, Corey Good, David Wilcock, these big names in the scene right now. They're talking about UFOs, some experiencers, JJ and Desiree Hertok, people that I respect the academia, at least the academia they put out there. But are you saying that, I mean, should we discount other people? How do you know whether to discount someone's experiences versus Billy's?
Okay, good. These are the right kinds of questions. It's not about, oh, I believe that or I don't believe that. Well, how? So here's the thing. The confirmed existence of and contact with advanced space traveling extraterrestrials would be the single most important discovery in all of science and human history. But how would we be able to determine that? And there's a simple word, evidence. And every person you mentioned is missing one important thing, evidence. And you name them, and I won't put the words in your mouth that I will take responsible for. Every one of the people you just named is lying, profiteer, in my opinion. I tried to say it to their faces. I will. Stephen Greer with his phony thing. What is it? Oh, yeah. Hold on.
CE5SCC. I mean.
Yeah. Take your flashlight and it will do aliens on demand. Aliens on demand. They're waiting here for you. Are you serious? And then it's free energy and send your money and ambassador trainings for hundreds of dollars. This man is a shit. I offered him all of this. It was about between 2004, 2006 in Los Angeles at a panel at a New Age. It was a whole life expo. It was a UFO panel. He was there. I was at this end. I stood up at a certain point. They called me and I said, Stephen, I'd like to save you a lot of trouble. All the nice people that are coming forward to say they've seen UFOs. I'm sure they have, but they don't know what the hell they've seen. So let me give you the best evidence you can have. Billy Meyer, there's 90 eyewitnesses. Now there's more, and I'm one of them. And there's countless photos and films and this and that. Stephen Greer wouldn't even look at me. He just stared straight ahead because he's a shameless, money-grubbing, egomaniacal narcissist. And Stephen, if you ever get to see this and you want to take a shot at me, I'll be glad to rip you a new one. Linda Moulton Howe. Let me tell you, see, because what's the real cost?
Okay.
The real cost here is our survival. These are the people that suppressed everything you've just heard from me, and that's a fraction. They won't allow it out. So what happens in 2005, I think it was, 5 or 6, I'm contacted by an organization called WAG TV from London. They want to come over to Switzerland and interview Billy for 15 minutes. I said, I'll find out. And Billy said, sure, how about doing it at this time? I said, sure, I'll come over and we'll do it. So they come over. And about an hour and 15 minutes into their 15 minutes with Billy, they just keep asking him stuff because he's just, he's a fountain of information.
Yeah.
So what happens is somebody comes in, one of the people there, and said, hey, Billy, why don't you show them the handprints? And they said, oh, yeah, the handprints. So we go out to the parking lot where he lives, and there's a car there. It was a Subaru, a little mini station wagon, maybe from the 1990s from his stepson. And all over the hood are these handprints. It's a silver Subaru. And you get closer, you can see the papillary lines are embedded in the finish. But that's not all. There's six fingers and a thumb on each of those hands. It's a seven-fingered handprint. Some of the prints go from the elbow to the fingertips.
Right, right.
So we photograph this and they film it and all. So what's the story? Well, the Pleiaran extraterrestrials that Billy works with, they're human beings. They sometimes take off some time and they have other races that they work with. And one of them are called Trilaner, and they're small statured humans, but they're different looking in the terms of they have a like greenish tinge to their skin, and their skin chemistry is very acidic compared to what we have. So Billy had once met them on a great ship in about 1975. They were there, and the leader of the Pleiaran race was there and introduced one of these people, and Billy wanted to shake his hand, as is a customary, we do it. And the guy said, I don't suggest you do that. And Billy said, well, why not? It's a friendly thing. He said, yeah, I know it's friendly, but their chemistry is different. And Billy said, well, can I just touch finger to finger here? He said, yes, yeah. And Billy says, my finger burned for a week, and they just have a different composition. And so they didn't do that just once. They came back later when somebody had a new Volvo and put some handprints on the hood of it. And it's just like, they're a little capricious. They're people. And so Linda Moulton Howe contacts me if she hears about this. Oh, can I bring some scientists to Switzerland to examine this? And I asked Billy, he says, yes, as long as they don't destroy the cars, come on over. She didn't do it because she's got her imaginary evil alien mutilation gig. Evil alien abductions. If you get it straight, Linda, it's called secret military abductions and mutilations to make people afraid of evil aliens. So you named them all. You named the Prince of Liars with, the Corey Goods and the David Wilcock, the profiteers. I had met David Wilcock 2004 or 5 at an event in Santa Clara, California. And he was, doing his thing or whatever. And then, of course, he starts to pick up more momentum. The more BS that you pump out without anybody ever demanding evidence. It's just fantastic. This is the problem. See, my whole thing, if I get steamed about this stuff, I say to people, ufology is the least scientific field.
It definitely seems to be. Yeah.
It's absolutely, nobody demands evidence. If you speak up against somebody, people are snowflakes. They fall apart. In what field do you have credible people who study something who don't speak up if they disagree or demand evidence? No, this is ufology. We should treat each other with kid gloves. I'm saying you're a bunch of idiots. You're amateurs. None of you know anything. You don't know anything. And here you are. You don't want to be called out for it. You want to peddle your books. And you want to speak at the events and have parties. Meanwhile, Billy Meyer is saying there's epidemics coming. There's tremendous scientific there's tremendous environmental upheaval coming. 1975, I have it on my website that I stopped updating in 2015. He's warned about the eruption of Cumbre Vieja in the Canary Islands within the last 2-3 months. What erupted? Cumbre Vieja. They explained the possibility. He's the first one. We published in 2005 warnings about the mega sea quakes and tsunami that will hit in the Cascadia subduction zone up in the Portland area, that it will 9.0 earth sea quake will run for 5 minutes at 9.0, and then a tsunami, then another quake, another tsunami. 3 years later, Oregon State University publishes the same finding. We published it already. We have so much. It's like, what do you do in a world where everybody wants make believe? Billy Meyer foretold the internet in 1958. I mean, one thing.
He predicted the internet?
Yes. And it was in the same paragraph where he spoke about the coming EU, European Union, that along with the United States would try to biochip every man, woman, and child on the face of the earth to control them. A topic that is now getting some activity in certain circles. It's, Greg, this is why.
This is very remarkable. This is a very interesting conversation we're having, I got to tell you.
You have people that you know, you have listeners, you have viewers. I welcome questions. I'm never offended by a question or a challenge. I don't ask, don't believe a damn thing. I will point you, if you want, to wherever you can find the same stuff I found. Oh, yes, I discovered photographs that nobody'd seen before since they were taken, top secret photos in 81, a UFO and a U.S. stealth fighter. And I sent that information out to everybody in ufology I could think of. Not one of these geniuses, not one of these liars would even look. Why? Because they can't profit from it. What good is it to a Stephen Greer or a Bob Lazar or any of these people if they say, hey, newly discovered, never before seen 7 UFO and stealth fighter photos from 1981, and time travel may have been involved in the photography. Billy Meyer, hey, wait, where's everybody going? Don't go look at Billy Meyer. I'm important. I'm making the point. So, you know, pardon me, but we are faced now with such dramatic stuff. There are going to be earthquakes. Well, no, the earthquakes happened as predicted. There will be the eruption coming of 5 major volcanoes in Italy, along with the undersea volcanoes, which will start to erupt. Things that are coming that will imbalance everything. There are things coming to this country. There is going to be the dispossession of the people of the United States of America by the government, which will turn the military and police against the partly heavily armed populace. I'm closely paraphrasing something Meyer predicted in 2017. At the same time, he had predicted that there would be attacks by anti-government forces against some of our officials. Can you say January 6th? There are times, Greg, you have just started to pull the thread on the proverbial sweater.
Holy moly.
And if people should be saying, how do I determine the truth for myself? Not, oh, I believe Billy Meyer. It's not about Billy Meyer. And he knows it. He signed on for this gig as the six previous prophets before him did. And he knew what was coming with it. He knew that people would vilify him, hate him, try to kill him as they did the others. And that this was now the final time we would get the teaching of the creation, the teaching of the spiritual teaching, and we could preserve it electronically as well. And it wouldn't be changed and turned into religions as it was turned into religions like Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, with gods that never existed, no such things, but whole other realities about beings that came here, human beings, long ago, about the origin of the peoples on this world going back millions of years, stuff that, and then the thing is that our scientists start to discover this stuff. There, you just were talking about Don't Look Up, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I've been living Don't Look Up for the past 20 years.
What's going on with that? What's going on with Don't Look Up? What is the parallel here?
Okay. Starting in 1981, Billy Meyer had a meeting with the extraterrestrials, the one of several that would continue, where they told him, there's an object coming from the depths of space, which is going to be the title of a new movie I'm putting out, from the depths of space, and it's heading towards Earth. And Meyer says, well, is there any danger to us here? And they said, yes, there is. And there's two dates, and our scientists at NASA now knew the dates as well. See, NASA discovered it in 2004. Billy warned about it in 1981, 23 years before. So April 13th, 2029, or April 13th, 2036, if we don't deflect it, it hits the Earth. And if it hits the Earth, you're getting something perhaps not quite as big as the fictionalized thing, but it will affect the entire planet. It will kill tens of millions of people. It will poison the atmosphere. It's a biggie. And they told him where it's going to hit. Now, NASA started to poo-poo it once they discovered it. Then, funny thing, a couple of years later, they changed their size estimate to within 25 meters of what Meyer was told. So all this time, as soon as I learned about this, I start putting out press releases and doing what I can. I had the contacts in which he's explained this illustrated in comic book form. I've got it in comic book form for free on the internet in six languages to try to get, because Meyer said, well, what should they do? Should they try to blow it up? And he said, no, your scientists must not try to blow this up because it will rain down on your planet like crazy. What they need to do is to send up a rocket with a device, a nuclear warhead, that they detonate at the right calculated right distance from that, and the shock wave sends it off a few degrees. Your world will not then have to deal with it. If the world scientists, don't come together and do it, more than likely, this thing hits. That's one possibility. It's only 7 years from now. I mean, come on. And so the Russians, after we published this, the Russians started to call for a joint effort to deflect the asteroid. And the Chinese and, pardon me, European space agencies have expressed interest. I don't know what they're doing right now. But NASA, of course, you know, isn't going to, it's, they poo-poo everything. And there are
other organizations around the world and mm-hmm. government organizations that do take Billy Meyer's stuff seriously.
Higher levels in Russia do take it quite seriously because of things that are coming in terms of war, that this country is going to make a very big mistake unless something changes, and I doubt it, a very big mistake, and is going to provoke Russia and China into a war that we not only don't win, but what's left of what they've said happens here is just not pleasant.
What should we do? Should we get out now? Do we have to leave this country? I mean, what would you recommend for the people that really do not want to be destroyed by Russia and China?
Then my personal recommendation, because people always write me, well, where are you going to move to? What are you going to, you know, I say, I'm staying here. I don't love the government. I mean, the country is the country. You know, it's a beautiful place. There's lots of good people here. There's lots of idiots like every place else. But this is where I live, and I want to try to do any and everything. And my level to alert people, because we talk about, you know, various kinds of preparedness and why studying the teaching is the best preparedness, because from that, when you get your mindset right, then everything else starts working. Okay, the answer is people, listen, if people want to try and leave the country, it gets harder. There's no guaranteed safe spaces. The best thing to do is to come together and to join the effort to speak up, fight against this otherwise terminal thing here. It's not good. Look, in 2017, they've been warning about the Russia thing since the 1970s. And in 87, in this one document called the Henoch Prophecies, the real Book of Enoch, if you will, the real Enoch predictions and prophecies of Enoch, they again spell out what will happen if America and Russia clash at this time with the weapons. In 1987, Billy Meyer's already talking about computerized weapons, lasers and clones and biological chemicals. He's talking about AI, the robots that will get their own autonomy and that pose a great threat to all of humankind, which we're now seeing the first stages of. We are so stupid as a species because we rush headlong to embrace every bit of technology. We think that's the answer to everything. When the overall maturity level of the mass consciousness is right now at, I don't mean it any way other than factual, it's at an adolescent level. The mass consciousness operates at an adolescent level, maybe mid to teen level, 14 years of age. This is, you know, all it's the techno toys, it's the flashy, it's the bling, it's the celebrities, it's the selfies, it's the porn, complete vacuousness going on between, you know, the sides of the head, the ears. So, okay, and there's a lot of people that aren't like that, but not nearly as many. So those who consider themselves to be truly awake, not just political. I mean, politics makes people so hopelessly stupid. I'm sorry. Politics is mind rot. How can you sign on for something because this party is the, how about universal truth? What is it? That's what the teaching is in my case. It's completely apolitical. When you are neutral in a balanced way, when you're neutral, positive, you can see things as they are and embrace truth. Hey, somebody on the far right said this. Well, that makes sense. Somebody on the far left did that, right?
No, I totally get this. I mean, I think, this is so interesting. There's so much here. Tell me this. I mean, is there anybody in the UFO ET community whose accounts you do believe?
Well,
beyond Billy.
Sure. It's what are the actual accounts? You know, somebody once asked me about, I'm trying to remember his name right now. He's a nice guy. I met him once.
Travis Walton or?
Yes, Travis Walton. I was in New Mexico. I think it was 2009 or 10 or something. We both were presenting at the same thing. And I ate a meal. We were sitting next to each other. I thought, this is a genuine guy. And my feeling was he believes very much that he had certain experiences. He doesn't claim to know what they are. As far as I know, he might think they're extra, but he's not. And I thought, I think this guy is sincere. He believes it, and something did happen to him. And I know some people involved with the Meyer material that said, yeah, you know, Travis Walton also, he seems like a straight ahead guy. But here's the thing. Nobody is meeting with voluntarily wide awake and interacting with beings that are so far advanced beyond them that it's pointless. It's not that, oh, we're better than you. It's just like, do you get a physics professor fourth, you know, year university who goes to discuss things with a kindergartner? He might say, what a cute kid, but there's no, the gap is too great. And our best, you know, we've got Avi Loeb from Harvard University who thinks a big rock flying by is a spaceship. Avi's all about himself, doesn't want to look at anything else. Because now he's got a book. You know, this is the game. I have never seen, this is, people say to me, oh, you're just a believing Billy Meyer, but all the, I said, I don't believe Billy Meyer. I don't have to believe him. I've been able to, on every level, to a legal standard, a scientific standard, eyewitness standard. What else do you need to do? I know he's telling the truth. I don't know about everything. He's got 45,000 pages of information. I've only been able to read through a few thousand in English. But based on all the evidence, I'll give you one other thing in a second, but I don't know anybody that has any evidence of anything. It's all anecdotal. You know, but so why, if not for self-attention and all the profit, why are somebody coming forward to say all the stuff that they can't? Well, people can say, well, listen, there are people that have been messed with, but 99 out of 100 of that is secret military. There, even in the Meyer case, they say there were some people in the, over the past decades, whatever, you can count them on less than two hands, that were some extraterrestrial race examined them and put them back. There was a hostile extraterrestrial race based on this planet underneath the Great Pyramid at Giza for a very long time that tried to manipulate people. There's a lot of stuff here that doesn't mean it's just one person with one. There's still another race. What do you think that the Tic Tac video, we know whose craft those are.
What do you mean by that? Go into that more. Whose craft is it?
Okay, well, if I've surmised all this correctly, there are four other groups that are not native to the Earth, who observe the Earth, are curious and have monitored things. They don't interact with anybody except on maybe the rarest of occasions, and it's not no ongoing, you know, something happened. And one of those groups is based underneath the Earth. And they've been here a very long time. They are descendants of an earlier extraterrestrial race. When I interviewed Billy about this, and I asked him more about them, and I said, well, is it, you know, are they just have a little thing? And Billy said to me, it's a state. This is a serious group of beings who they are referred to as the sons of the sun. And they may have a light bluish tinge to their skin. They're fully human. They have what would be to us futuristic technology, craft that can pass from the inner Earth through and be seen flying around. And when they want to, they are let their craft be seen. And it appears to be that the Tic Tac video, since their craft are the ones that are seen most in terms of an extra or intraterrestrial race, theirs are the most seen of these other craft, other than our secret military and the secret military of other countries, which are quite abundant in terms of sightings. And there is a prophecy, I think it's in the Henoch prophecies, that if the US is foolish enough to provoke a war, if the West is foolish enough to provoke a war with Russia and China and the allies there, probably it will be this race that offers help to the rest of the world against us.
Oh.
This won't go well. And they've already described the kind of weaponry that would be used against this country. They've spelled it out. And so at certain levels of our intelligence, the people, I'm not saying anything that some of the more thorough intelligence people don't know. They'll right. just never want to talk about it because they have an agenda. They think you can't outsmart the prophecies because they're not based just on a person. They're based on the immutable law of cause and effect. And this is one of the great laws we have to learn to understand why we have this tragedy with the environment, this disaster just going to unfold on us now, is because we have violated all the laws of nature. We think that we can pray away to imaginary deities, saviors, and saints our stuff, because one religion's got this goofy thing that if you go and harm somebody, you can sit down with some guy who may be molesting kids in the neighborhood, and he's going to give you some magic words. And if you repeat these magic words, you're absolved of your sins, because you don't have to bother atoning and paying a price to society. No. you just say your hail, whatever the hell they are, and right, you're all free, right? Well, that's make-believe, people. And if people like make-believe, and they will continue to like make-believe, that's fine. But that gets us in a lot of trouble. Everything that has come from our make-believe religions, our make-believe politics that have violated the true laws of this universe, the teaching of this creation energy law, we, those of us who see ourselves as innocent in this, we're not trying to, we get to have the sins of the fathers vested upon us, so to speak. So to answer your question, may the people who care start to come together.
Now, so wait a minute. I mean, hey, even if you don't believe in Billy, this is a good message. My gosh. Now, that said, I want to believe in this gentleman. I want to figure out what exactly. So he was told to start writing down everything, or did he just have the intuition that he should jot down all this information?
His earliest teacher, who started also to teach him advanced German to write very well, kept his own records that these extraterrestrials have. So at times when Meyer talks about a certain thing that happened in his childhood, they say, here's the record from Svath about that time and what he observed. He talks about you. But Meyer was also, of course, told as soon as he was old enough to start keeping his own records. Now, he sent information around the world on two occasions at least. One when he was, I think, 12, once when he was 14, spelling out all the stuff about the environment and the overpopulation, the wars, the disasters, epidemic. And he had one response to 3,000 letters. His school teachers helped him to send this out, the people who knew this kid's hot, you know, we're going to help him out here. West Germany, I think, once said, thank you very much. That was it. Nobody wants to know. People don't want to think. This country right now, pardon me, the people that occupy our government are incompetent. And the people that put them there didn't think this through. And go back as many years as you want. These people can't, they're making it up. This is what I'm trying to say to people about this whole COVID thing. These people are making it up as it goes along. We are stuck with this sucker for all time. There will be times when it's under control, but it is now permanently with the human race. This was a very maliciously, deliberately created bioweapon that is very sophisticated, and then it's got its, you know, variants, some of which are more or less virulent.
Right.
There's nothing to believe. Don't believe in Billy Meyer. Don't believe in anything.
But what about the idea, Michael, that there is a suppression of information because the elites do know about these extraterrestrials? I mean, we hear these stories. Again, this could be completely made up. It often sounds as if it's something that people made up. But this idea that the Greys flew over the White House and Eisenhower had meetings with them. There's ideas of these elites, you know, even people at Skull and Bones and the Masons and the Illuminati. These people have been in contact and they know the secrets and they're hoarding all the knowledge. Or they are lizard people and they are in control. They're an extraterrestrial species and we can't let human beings know about this knowledge. I mean, is there, in your experience with Billy, are there people in power that also are getting messages like this and are afraid because they know he's right?
In my understanding, it's kind of simple in a way. Like you mentioned, the so-called Greys, the Roswell crash, and there were at least eight others, different parts of the world, where androids were recovered. At least there were crashes, and some of them, they recovered the androids. They're not extraterrestrial full humans. They are android human beings that were genetically engineered by the people in Zeta Reticulum. So when they were found, there were, at Roswell, there were a couple that were still alive and the others were dead. And they got whatever information they could, however they could, from them. But there are no Greys walking around because these beings also don't reproduce. They have no means of... They don't have sexual reproduction. They're android, robotic human beings, highly. Meyer said Our scientists will, it'll be probably a couple thousand years before we can do that. They understand about robots and all, you know, we're working towards that, but no, what those things are, these beings can have their own thoughts, although they are connected. It's the whole story. So the whole thing with the grays is disinformation. But get to the end, Eisenhower didn't meet with them, but the whole idea about the elite, see, you know what the elite know? They know and work with a part of what this teaching is. They understand how thoughts create realities. And
Right?
And we get the new age version where people, now we, you know, I want a Ferrari and I want a new girlfriend and they, you know, whatever. But the elite got the message because they, through at least hundreds of years, maybe even millennia, through these lineages, they learned how to control the masses. They were connected to the early religions and banking and all these things. And they didn't have to be religious at all. They knew how people, they could control people. And they knew that if they wanted to accomplish certain things, they would ruthlessly pursue those things using certain laws of creation of cause and effect. What they don't seem to care about are the consequences to others or actually to themselves, because there's information, I'm not going to try to go into it right now, but you don't quite get out of this life scot-free no matter what. There are things that a human being brings upon themselves that aren't even discernible to somebody else when they're passing from this world under the best of circumstances. There's no karma per se. It's not like karma the way, you know, the New Age and Buddhism or Hinduism stuff. No. It's really cause and effect. And we in any given lifetime, we have our positives and our negatives. We do this and we do that, whatever the balance is. In the next lifetime, our personalities don't reappear. Our spirit forms, which are impersonal, reincarnate into a totally new human being, can be the same or a different race or sex, anything, and no direct connection to the previous personality. It's part of the way evolution works. It's only very much farther down. Now, again, this isn't a belief, it's simply what's said here. So don't believe it, just consider it if you want to. Much farther down the evolutionary track, so to speak, in millions of years, in each subsequent new incarnation as the person and reincarnation of the spirit, the evolutionary level, the knowledge and the wisdom is growing and growing. There'll be an exponential difference between now and, let's say, 5,000 years, who we would be, or 10,000, you know, we needn't worry about it. All this New Age ascension stuff, it's warmed over Christianity with Egyptology thrown in. We're just, we have confused leaders and confused teachers and confused prophet-seeking ufology. People don't know their ass from their elbow. So it's all confused.
But how do we then, I mean, look, there is a lot of confusion. You think that if people examine these photographs, if you think people examine the teachings and really delve deep into Billy Meyer, they will have more clarity about these matters.
It's very possible. You know, we've effectively defeated all skeptical challenges. People who are hardcore skeptics, they think they're still in the game. Sometimes they're not. I'll explain, because you mentioned the photographs. It's not the most important part, because the real part, just I'll jump to the, you know, the end game, is each human being is 100% self-responsible for everything in their life. We decide for ourselves, is this BS? Is this real? And we want to try to have the best tools for evaluating things, whether it's what's the best tire for my car, or the best fruit to grow on this property, or the best this or anything else. We try to get the best information. So I'll tell you, I'll make it a shorter story of what happened to me starting in January 2017 on a Saturday morning at 8:30. My phone rings. I pick it up, and this gruff sounding older guy, I don't know him from Adam, says his name is Joe. All he will say is, "I'm an investigator. You represent Billy Meyer, UFO case." "Yeah?" Are you willing to discuss it with me? I said, well, of course. He says, are you sure? I said, yeah, well, why do you ask again? He says, because I think it's a hoax. I said, well, let's go and find out. Because I figure whenever I actually speak to people that are skeptical of something or questioning, I'm going to learn more about, well, what do I know about that? What can I say to address that? So
absolutely. This guy, totally,
you know, it's more interesting. I don't want, this isn't about believers. Oh, go believe Stephen Greer, folks, if you really want to, you know, and see how it'll lighten your bank account. And that's about it. But anyhow, and as I say, anyway, so this guy calls me every Saturday morning at 8:30. One question after another, one harsh challenge. It's not a conversation. It's an interrogation. And I'm enjoying it because I'm thinking, I don't know what this guy does, but he's tight on the money. He's not giving me any wiggle room. He disappears at the end of March, pops back into my life somewhere late August of 2017. And he says, it's me, Joe. Will you still talk to me? I said, well, yeah. What do you got? He said, I'm going to tell you who I am. And I'm going to tell you about your Billy Meyer cases. He had one of those kind of flat East Coast accents, right? He
totally.
Said, right. One of those guys. He says, I'm one of the top former investigator and supervisors for the United States Air Force Office of Special Investigation and the Department of Defense. I said, really? He said, don't take my word for it. Open your email. I go, I open my email and I get, I don't know, two, three, whatever, photographs, tabletops full of citations close enough that I can read that they're from the government and that this guy is their, this is their boy. He's the prince. Promote this guy at every opportunity. This guy's sharp. Yeah. And I said, well, it's pretty impressive stuff. He says, you seen it now? I said, yeah. He says, okay, now you do this. I said, what? Delete it. I said, okay. Okay. I mean, the guy's who he says he is.
Right.
So he says, okay, after I talked to you for those 3 months, you know, I started to look into everything. And I went back and I looked in that early information you have from 1964. Billy Meyer in India, he's written about, he's interviewed in the newspaper. I looked up that newspaper, highly credible, been in existence for 100 years by then. I looked up the reporter, really good guy, award-winning, very respected. And he's talking about Billy Meyer's got an album there with 80 UFO photos. And he's describing some of them, and you still have them. I looked at the photos. He's describing them. You still have them. He says, I'll get back to that. And he says, then I looked up the young girl whose grandfather, whatever, is the monk at this ashram in India where Billy Meyer is. And this girl is seeing these UFOs along with all these other people. And she sees the ET woman. And now she's a retired diplomat to the UN. I look her up, highly credible person. Why would she come forward and, you know, after all these years and expose herself to this? So he says, okay, so I have to know, if a skeptic tells me this is a hoax, all I want to know is, where did Billy Meyer get 80 UFO photos in 1964? Is there some kind of UFOs arrest in India? Because if you can't prove that he hoaxed those photos, you're done and the case is real. And then he goes on and he says, look, beyond that, Billy Meyer knew where to go and when to be there. And then there's the films. He knows where to go for the filming of the UFO. And here's a guy, he doesn't try to make any money. And I mean, the guy basically tells me my own story about why I know Billy's real. And so he says, I'm giving you this in an article, put it on your site. So since that time, no skeptic who could, you know, who'd represent himself as being anything but just a silly cult believer in skepticism has come forward to say, well, this is how Billy Meyer did it.
Yeah.
And I had a lawyer, I didn't even know this guy, a former trial attorney and prosecutor, basically writes me a couple of paragraphs saying, basically, you're doing courtroom quality research. This meets proof, you know, beyond a reasonable doubt. People should pay attention. The late astronaut Gordon Cooper, I never met him. There's a video online. We got it. He's talking to people in Russia saying, oh, yeah, there's this guy in Switzerland. Yeah, Billy Meyer, that's his name. He's been meeting with extraterrestrials. Really good photos. The guy says, fine. Yeah, fine photos. He says, I don't know why people are trying to say it's a hoax. This is real. Astronaut Gordon Cooper. So people can start to weigh the pros and the cons. Then you get into a teaching that really says there's nothing to believe here. We're going to tell you this and this and this, and it's up to you to try and see if that what that does in the, you know, the sanctity of your own cranium as you think through all this stuff. What happens in your life? Well, what happens in my life is I'm glad to say it. I get emails from people all the time. Oh my gosh, that changed my life completely. I've been reading this book or that book or these two books or whatever. And it really, now I see things differently, and great, wonderful. I'm happy for you because I know what you mean. You know, tell your friends. And we have tons of free articles on the teaching. I have 1,500 free, 1,700 if you include my website, free articles all about this, everything in the Meyer case. And then if people really are serious and they want, well, I want to know, what is the teaching that the play Aaron lived by? Well, here it is. It's the same damn thing.
Wait a minute. Have they ever walked around? I mean, are the people that are in those ships, do they roam the earth ever?
Well, yes, they have. Let's just talk about these times because they've been present on Earth in the past and throughout history, different times and places. But people, there are some people not directly connected with Billy Meyer who accidentally in different countries ran into them on two occasions, I think it is. Yes, once, I think it was an Austrian guy and a woman in Persia. She may have been a German woman. But in Switzerland, there are a number of people who've seen them, and kind of they try to not be seen because it's not about that type of thing. But in the Silent Revolution of Truth, you'll have at least one person who describes seeing them. One of them who's a very large person, not with directly with the race Billy works with. They're more of the size that we are. But yes, they've been seen. One person at the center tried to take photographs of one of them, so the camera got taken away and the film taken out. Because here's the thing, they look like us. What are you gonna do? Now, there are photographs that were taken by Meyer of two of the women, one of whom visited him in India. And those, Meyer never developed his own films or video stuff, sent it away through what's called Bayer camera, a photo, you know, camera shop. And they sent it off to, oh, Kodak or whatever. Well, of course, things started to not come back and things got intercepted. And Meyer wasn't that into it. He didn't care that much because he's been on these things since he was a kid. But he knew, I got to take the photos and the films for this mission. And then he takes the photos, throws them in shoeboxes. So lots of them got stolen. Some came back that were falsified, including photos of two of the women that he never picked up on because he didn't, you know, it looked enough like them. And one of the women, the skeptics came after them because skeptics then saw photographs 20 something years later that had been falsified. And they thought that they were from Billy. And they were actually a blending of photographs from the Dean Martin show from two dancers from the 70s with the actual women. And some very astute people who then researched showed how the photos had been hoaxed and how they could not have been hoaxed by Meyer and why. I mean, this is a drama that doesn't stop.
Yeah.
And it's meant to be, because if you just had people that come down, you'd have a world in chaos. All the people with all the different beliefs would go nuts. There would be suicides, there would be attacks.
Yeah, what do you think? They brought these theologians right now, right? They brought these clergymen to NASA to figure out how to deal with the ET situation. That was in the news recently.
I'm going to try to find them and send them this information. I have personally sent a few thousand over the past 20 years, a few thousand emails out to scientists, you know, meaning astronomers and different scientists, journalists, UFO people, I've had the equivalent of maybe two handfuls of actual responses. People are weak. They are weak-minded. They can't think for themselves and they don't want to. They want to be told what's real and true. And so there are, you mentioned the elite. There are people like that who are very willing to tell people what's true and to do other things that people think are happening now, which isn't quite the case. The COVID pandemic is not something the elite created, but Billy already wrote about how such things. He wrote about this years ago. The genetic engineering of viruses and DNA and this and that will be used by certain elites to try to reduce the population of the world and certain specific racial and ethnic groups, because the people of Earth have allowed it to go crazy. And the elite, no, this is going to be a big inconvenience for them if this keeps going. The pollution, the water, which is going to be ever more scarce. I mean, this is, unfortunately, is nothing to believe. All you have to do is just watch the shuck and jive, watch the news, try to figure things out as they go along.
Why Billy? Why him, of all the people?
Mm-hmm. Good. So I'm going to give you the answer I give to people, meaning the preface, according to the information in the case. That means that I cannot prove the following statement.
Which statement is Michael Horn talking about? We have part two coming out later this week. I love leaving this show on an open loop. It's open. Let me tell you, part two of this, you're going to hear the spaceship sound. You're going to hear the story of Billy Meyer and who he or his spirit might actually be. If you thought part one was mind-blowing, you just wait. I'd love to know your thoughts. Write me at TheGregBornstein on Instagram. Follow Open Loops on Facebook and YouTube. I want to thank you for listening, as well as Ronnie McGilvery for the theme music, Zero Boy for the pre-theme music, and Society for creating a world where podcasts are accepted by all.